Well, the United Nations has warned about the spike in child casualties in urban warfare as the Taliban militants and the Daesh terrorists step up their violence in Afghanistan. The UN assistance mission in Afghanistan says 161 children have been killed in the first 3 months of 2016. The violence has also left nearly 450 youngsters injured, which is a 29% jump from last year. The mission warned that continued fighting near schools and residential areas will worsen the situation. It also noted that child deaths comprise a third of the overall civilian toll, which has dropped after hitting a record high last year. The authorities said U.S. drone strikes and shelling by pro-Afghan government forces are also responsible for a fraction of the deaths. Editor-in-Chief of Zorz, Manuel Ossenreiter, joins us now from Berlin. Sir, welcome to the program. How alarming are these numbers released by the United Nations?
Well, these numbers sound very alarming, but it doesn't mean that a lot of things changed on the Afghan battleground. Because what we see is typical terrorist warfare. Terrorist warfare aims civilians and not necessarily armies. As well, we have to take into account that there is no Afghan state existing. It's a failed state. It's an empty entity governed by warlords of different heritage. We have on the other side, we have the so-called Islamic State, the Taliban. And this is the nature of terrorist warfare. The nature is to aim civilians and to terrorize civilians, to take power via terrorism. So we have to worry that this development will go on without any change. If there will be not established any real statehood in this country.
Let's not forget the U.S. drone strikes that have been going on for years in what many are seeing as a clear violation of Afghan sovereignty. Civilians have been killed as a result of the use of drone strikes by the United States, and among those civilians definitely were a number of children as well.
Yes, the civilians are the losers of all this warfare, and you are absolutely right to mention the U.S.-American drone strikes, but we have to mention in this context the whole U.S.-led so-called anti-terror operation in Afghanistan, which turned out to support terrorism, and as I think, not by accident or by coincidence, but it was taken into account and maybe even planned. We see on the other side that we are today more far away than we were ever before that we could describe Afghanistan as a state. It is a destabilized danger. It is a hotspot for international terrorism. We can compare it with Syria. And Afghanistan plays a certain function in the Western geopolitical worldview. It plays the function of being a travel hotspot, not just for the neighboring countries as Iran, but also, for example, for the Russian Federation, for China. The situation in Afghanistan today is playing a certain geopolitical role in the eyes of Washington and in the eyes, of course, also of NATO's Brussels and the European Union. The price for this geopolitical game are paying the civilians, especially what makes it most tragically the children.
One last question, sir. Where do you think Kabul should start in at least in its attempts to implement stability in Afghanistan?
Well, this is if it would be so easy to explain this in one or two sentences, I think the Kabul establishment would have done it. But the problem is right now that in Kabul itself are people in power which were put in by Western nations, which were put in by NATO, which were put in by lobby groups from foreign countries. And this is always a very, very bad element when it comes to statehood. So the governance in this country should be completely be supported and elected, of course, by the people. People should get into power not because they are lobbied and promoted by foreign powers, but because they have the support of their certain region, because they have the support of their certain ethnicity or of their certain people. So it would mean for Afghanistan itself, it would need a complete relaunch of statehood. I don't think that it is so easy to do it with two, three, four little reforms. It would need a complete, fully renewal of the statehood. The state would need a certain philosophy for existence. It would have to define itself as a state. I think we are today so far away from that situation as we never were before. I think Afghanistan was, in, especially in the 60s and in the 1970s, much closer to have a thing like, let us call it, national identity as an Afghani state. And I think we are today very, very far away from this so-called national identity.
Thank you, sir. Manuel Austin Ryder joining us from Berlin.